Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get started with any of it, I want to remind all of the listeners of our very special New Year's Eve Day show, which takes place the Sunday of New Year's Eve at 2 p.m., and we are going to be ranking every single WWE wrestler, both on Raw and SmackDown, and we'll be ranking them on a scale of 1 to 10 in four different categories and coming up with our choices for the top 10 wrestlers in the WWE 2023, as well as the top 10 female wrestlers in the WWE in 2023. So you definitely want to put that on your calendar because that should be a lot of fun. Should be very interesting. Anyway, let's get started with some news because there's quite a bit of it actually. And the first is that we had reported here on this show probably about a week ago that Daniel Bryan was one of the people that was on the committee that had voted to fire CM Punk. And that turns out to be true. Now, how much influence he had, I'm not 100% sure, but I would imagine that he represented the wrestlers because the other people on the committee were not wrestlers, as far as I know. And as soon as that word leaked out, there were a lot of people who backlashed Danielson and said, oh, you know, he was buddy with CM Punk, and then he turned on him. Listen, if Bryan Danielson is serious about doing his job, which at this moment, I guess, is helping to run Collision or running Collision, Bryan Danielson did what he had to do. Now, the minute this came out, we heard some other things, and we heard that, well, AEW wrestlers are very unhappy because they're being fined. They're being fined for social media posts or social media indiscretions, and one of the people behind those findings is also Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson. Well, it turns out that, again, he's part of it, but he's not the actual head of deciding who gets fined and who doesn't. He's just a part of it. And I've heard from a lot of fans who were saying, well, this is outrageous. What about freedom of speech? You can't go on social media and say what you want to say. I thought you were a big freedom of speech person. I thought you were complaining about Facebook shutting people down and Twitter shutting people down. I am. You should be able to go on social media and say anything that you want to say, provided it's not hate speech and provided it's not slander. However, those rules do not apply to private companies. In other words, you can't work at McDonald's and expect to keep working at McDonald's and go on social media every single day and tell people do not eat at McDonald's. McDonald's is filthy. Do not eat McDonald's. Go to Burger King. Do not eat at McDonald's. We did this to the food today. We did that to the food today. You will be fired. And rightfully so. They can't have that. That's detrimental to their business. And they have the perfect right to fire you for it. If you were a school teacher, you can't go on social media and post inflammatory things about your students or inappropriate pictures of your students, or you're going to be fired. You also can't post porn links all day long, or they're going to take a look at it and say, well, I don't know, man. I don't think you qualify to be a teacher for 15-year-old kids. That's just life. That's the way that is. That's nothing to do with censorship. You have the absolute right to go on and post what you want. But the company also has the absolute right to say you're not best suited for our position. So I'm not defending people who are trying to take away freedom of speech. If it's important to you, if you work at McDonald's and it's important to you to go on and tell people you should never eat at McDonald's, then fine. You're not going to work at McDonald's. They're going to fire you. But you got the right to do it. They got the right to fire you. Or they got the right to fine you. Or they got the right to do whatever they want to do, suspend you, whatever they want to do. They have the right to do it because they're paying you. So these guys getting on social media, I'm all for this. I'm sorry. I'm all for this. I have had it up to my ears with professional wrestlers, 30, 40-year-old men and women getting on and having literal tantrums arguing with 15-year-old fans. Enough. If you're that sensitive, and you're that easily marked out by a fan, you probably shouldn't be a wrestler. Let fans say what they want to say. You don't have to respond to every single fan who doesn't like you, who doesn't think you're a good wrestler, who doesn't think your last match was 5-star, who, whatever it happens to be, just let it go. Instead, we see a lot of arguments happen online with these workers. And what does it actually do? It just discourages fans from having interactions with wrestlers, and it discourages fans from actually going to the shows or following these wrestlers because they say, well, I don't dare say anything. If I say something they don't like, they're going to take my head off. If somebody does something that they don't like, they go on social media and say, I'm sick of not being used. These are the same people, by the way, who will turn around and say, how come I'm not used? How come I'm not used? Well, I'll tell you why you're not used. Because when you are being given a break, when you are being given a little bit of a time off or you're not really being utilized in a major angle, there you are on social media whining about it to fans who are, you're supposed to be trying to convince at least that you're really actually fighting. I don't like my new storyline. Why am I not being used? Why are my angles so bad? And then fans read it. And then you sit here and complain about, well, kayfabe is dead. Yeah, well, you're going right along with it. You're killing it. You've killed it. You've completely destroyed it. I don't know why fans weren't cheering for my match with so-and-so. It was a real blood feud. Yeah, it was a blood feud until we saw you at Comic-Con with your arm around the guy. Until we saw you and their families hanging out. Till we saw you guys yucking it up at a comedy club on a videotape that you've decided to post to Twitter. And then we said, well, how much of a blood feud could it possibly be? Here they are having a good old time. So, yeah, something's got to give with that. I'm not against fining people for especially getting into these vulgar arguments with fans and in some cases really, really stepping over the line. You can't tell a 14 or 15-year-old who's criticizing you to go, you know, play in traffic or go jump off a building. Why don't they do it? You're an adult. So, yeah, this is long coming. WWE's always had somewhat of a policy of this, by the way. I don't think they fine you necessarily monetarily. I just think you fully understand that your job is in jeopardy if you do something like this. Or your push is in jeopardy if you do something like this. Or the fact that they'll use you is in jeopardy if you do something like this because they don't want it. And I don't blame them. So before you jump all over Bryan Danielson is trying to make AEW a viable wrestling federation, and he understands one of the ways you're going to have to do this is by not letting the inmates run the asylum. There's got to be an order to things, and there's got to be a boss in charge, and there's got to be rules that are followed by everybody. And if you go online and say, I pitched an idea to this worker that I thought was a really good idea of how to end our match, and he rejected it because he's a scumbag, and that's why the match ended so badly, and that's why you're telling me you hated the ending. If you hated the ending to my match, it's not my fault. Go talk to so-and-so. He rejected a good ending. Yeah, that's very good for the business. And by the way, the person you told that to is 14. I don't know what to tell you. I do not know what to tell you. There is a different how you interact with fans. I've interacted with people. When I was wrestling, I interacted with people. And I can tell you right now, it was based upon how they interacted with me. If they came up to me and said, hey, man, you know, you guys put on a good match that looked extremely realistic and it looked like some of that really hurt, I'd say, yeah, some of that really did hurt. And I'm glad you enjoyed it. But if fans came up to me that were 15 and 16, I remember one time I was in a mall. And it just so happens a guy I was supposedly in a blood feud with, who was one of my best friends, was also in the mall. I didn't know it. And they came running up to me saying, oh, Kesson's in the mall. And my first reaction was, oh, good, I'll have to go say hi to him. And then I realized these guys think there's going to be a fight. These guys don't realize we're friends. So what did I say? Oh, come on, he's my best friend. Grow up. Stop being such a wuss. Stop being such a mark. No, I didn't do that because that would have killed their enjoyment of the match we were going to have. I said, really? Well, I guess I'm just going to have to go find him. And they're like, there's going to be a fight. There's going to be a fight. In the meantime, I just text them and say, get out of the mall for a little while because we got fans here. Think there's going to be a fight. You have to judge it by the fan. There's some fans will do nothing but get on you. They're just trolls. All they want to do is go onto a wrestler's site and say, you suck, you're terrible, you're horrible, your last match blew. You just ignore those people or block them. Just go on with your life. You're an adult. But here's what else you don't do. You don't get on social media and whine about your position with the company, how some other worker did you wrong, how somebody in the dressing room is being mean to you, how you're not getting enough mic time, how so-and-so's getting a lot of mic time and you're getting no mic time. Yeah, I don't want that. If you worked for me in a wrestling federation and you did that, you're probably fired. But at very least, you're fine. People who say this is blocking freedom of speech, no, it's not. It's telling the people that you work for to grow up and don't make the company nor the business look bad because there'll be consequences if you do. I think that's perfectly fair, Mike. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, it's the whole don't just because you can don't mean you should thing. You know, just because you
right.
can do it don't mean you should do it. I mean, there are times when, I mean, we know what happened with Sasha Banks and Naomi, right? And there were and we know that. But correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember either one of the ladies taking it to Twitter. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. I mean, back in the day, back when we were growing up, waddling around watching wrestling, you know, the only way you could take it to social media is if you wrote to Pro Wrestling Illustrated or The Wrestler or whatever and complained through the magazine, that you don't know if they would have they probably wouldn't have printed your letter or whatever. And even if they did, by the time that letter, that magazine went to print at the time, it's 3 or 4 or 5 months later, and people moved on, you know?
Right. Well, see, this is what AEW's got a problem with this, too. All the headlines you read, go scan social media, go scan YouTube or Twitter, X, whatever it's called, and here's what you'll hear. AEW backstage, morale ever. Big problems backstage with AEW, many wrestlers unhappy. How do you know? How do you know? The answer is because they're telling you. They're running to the dirt sheets. They're running to Twitter. They're running to social media, and they're expressing their discontent. Can you imagine if there was baseball players doing this? I know I'm worth the money. I know I'm worth what I'm asking, and my club is not giving it to me, and if they don't give it to me, I'm going to leave. or I'm not being used enough. If I'm going to be a bench player here, I want my walking papers. I want to go to a club that appreciates me. Baseball would not put up with that. I don't see any baseball players doing that. Everyone says the right thing. I would love to stay with this organization, but obviously there's contract negotiations. My job for my family and myself is to get as much money as I possibly can and be paid what I feel I'm worth. My ultimate goal would be to stay here because I love it here. But even if you hate it, that's what you say. Even if you say, I'll take less money to go somewhere, that's still what you say. And they're smart enough to do it. Only wrestlers are like, this is no better. I would promise stuff. Grow up. Grow up. Did anybody get it any worse than AJ Styles in Impact? And did he doesn't have a bad thing to say. You literally have to force stories out of him. And even then, he cleans it up. Even then, he's, well, that's not so bad. You know, there were some problems. Yeah, but it wasn't bad. He doesn't run around to the dirt sheets. He doesn't get on Twitter and say, oh, man, guess what happened to me today? So-and-so was mean to me when I talked to him. Grow up. What do you got in AEW? A bunch of kids. See, this is the problem. And I know this is why a lot of people are saying, well, that's why CM Punk was justified doing what he did. No, he's not. No, he wasn't. If CM Punk was justified doing what he did, do you really think Bryan Danielson would vote to fire him? He understood CM Punk wasn't justified in what he did. See, because if CM Punk really wanted to do something, you tell a young person, this is what I think you should do or whatever, and if they ignore you, then you just tell them, okay, well, then don't come to me for anything else. If you know it all, you know it all. You don't punch them. You don't choke them. You don't threaten the boss. You don't say, if you don't like it, come to find me, and then cry when they come to find you. You simply move on. I've done it. I've done it when I was talking to people who were wrestling with me, and I said, you know, they'd come to me and say, how was my match? And I'd say, good, but, you know, here's what I really think you need to do with this move, because it doesn't look good from the outside. Oh, no, it's fine. Okay. Okay. Well, it's not my match. You asked my opinion, I gave you my opinion. Same way with music. People have asked me, how do you get that sound, or how do we get this sound on a guitar, or what do you think about this vocal? Oh, well, here's what I would do. Yeah, but I don't really like it. Okay. That's fine. I don't choke them and punch them because they didn't do what I said. Can you imagine a baseball coach doing that? You always want to talk about how wrestling's a sport. Marcus Cain is wrong. It's a sport. Is it? How about if a baseball coach says, look, I want you to start trying to, you know, develop a different pitch, or I want you to start pitching in this manner because and the guy says, listen, sorry, but this is the way I've pitched my whole life. I'm just going to stick with what brought me here and, you know, whatever. The coach doesn't get to punch you. He doesn't get to choke you, and he doesn't get to go to the manager and say, I'll kill you too. He doesn't get to do that. But AEW and wrestling in general has a problem, and the problem is you've got too many people with too many outlets to complain, and they're complaining to the fans, and they're starting fights with the fans, and they're saying things that are inappropriate on social media that is derogatory to the company itself and the business, and you have to stop it. That somehow. And if you don't, then it's just going to spread, and what's going to end up happening is it's going to hurt you, and that's what's happening now. Because when people hear AEW wrestlers aren't happy, AEW's not drawing, AEW guys are wanting to leave, this guy said he's not being used enough, the Hardys are saying they're being wasted, Andrade saying he never got anything he was promised, fans just start to say, yeah, it's a fly-by-night company. I'm not watching it no more. And there go your ratings. Todd, you have to police that somehow.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Yeah, like you said, the difference between CM Punk and Bryan Danielson, Bryan Danielson's more a professional backstage than CM Punk was. You know, it's at least at least you have some authority figure as for a professional authority figure in Brian Danielson.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't have the inmates running the asylum. You just can't have it. And in no other sport would this happen. Once in a blue moon, you'll see a football player, a baseball player, somebody say, oh, I've had it with this team, or I'm, you know, whatever. But that's usually because they know they're gone and they don't care. Absolutely don't care. You know, once a certain, once a couple of the pitchers left the Mets, like Jason Verlander, he said, I didn't like the organization. Okay, well, you're free to say that. You don't work for them no more. But not one time did he say while he was taking that mound for the New York Mets, I don't like this organization. I don't really want to play for this organization. I don't think this is a very good organization. I don't think the people behind the scenes know what the hell they're doing. He never said it. Once he's gone, if you want to say it, whatever. Who cares? Then you can judge for yourself, well, is that a class move or not? Do I think it's a class move? No, I don't. But at least he's free to say it because he's not getting a paycheck. So, yeah, I'm not gonna kill Brian Danielson for fining people who do ridiculous things on social media. And the WWE does it too. But they got to straighten up a little bit too. Because I'll tell you what I would not allow. And I know it sounds silly, and people are going to say, we already know it's a performance. We already know kayfabe is dead. I don't care. I still would not allow Drew McIntyre to post a picture of himself and Sami Zayn at Disneyland, yucking it up, when Sami Zayn is supposed to be injured and Drew McIntyre is supposed to be causing it. Now, they didn't do that, but I'm just using that as an example. If Drew McIntyre or Sami Zayn was to post, look, here's me and my best friend Drew McIntyre, and we're on Space Mountain having a great old time, you'd be like, well, this is ridiculous. It just kills any feel that you have. Just kills it. Anyway, speaking of Sami Zayn was apparently written off television last week with the Drew McIntyre incident. He's going to take some time off. If anybody deserves some time off, probably Sami Zayn. Once again, let me be completely fair. I don't care for Sami Zayn. I think he's a decent wrestler. I think he's a fantastic on the mic guy. Fantastic on the mic guy. But I do not like his mannerisms outside the ring. I do not like his politics or his ideology. I have some problems with Sami Zayn. Still say, he could potentially be their most valuable player of 2023. Sami Zayn, everything you gave him to do this year, he hit a home run. Everything. Stuff that I thought, this is not going to work. This is absolutely not going to get over. He got over. He's extraordinarily good at making everything he does seem like it comes directly from the top of his head and not from a writer's pen. Be one of the best I've ever seen at it. Because I've never seen a Sami Zayn skit that I thought, oh, whoever wrote that was good. It always occurred to me, well, Sami Zayn just winged it. And I don't think that's the truth. He might wing a few things. He might throw a few things in there. But in general, I think a lot of his stuff is written, and it never sounds it. Never sounds it. He's phenomenal at that. He's one of the only people I know, because Kevin Owens is great on the mic. He makes Kevin Owens look like, Bobby Lashley on the mic. That's how good he is. So, and he has really carried WWE through some stuff here in 2023. So he deserves some time off. Heal up if he's got some nagging injuries, whatever it happens to be. And I'm sure when he comes back, he'll be refreshed and better than ever. So I'm happy to see it. Plus, it helps Drew McIntyre, Mike, because let's face it, Sami Zayn's one of their most popular guys, and now he's going to be the guy that gets the heat for taking him out.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. And, I mean, he does deserve it, and Lord knows, when he comes back, the roof's going to blow off the place when he comes back. No doubt. And that's going to happen. As far as going back to the first subject, the only time that I've seen a bad thing come out of AJ Styles' mouth, and it's not really a bad thing, but a criticism of a company come out of AJ Styles' mouth was when they fired Valhalla, and he said, "Well, you shouldn't have fired her." But that's the only time I remember that happening.
And that wasn't even a criticism. He just said, you know, I think that's a mistake. I thought she was really one of the better workers here, and I think that could be a mistake. That's just his opinion. That's just his opinion. The only time I ever heard AJ Styles say anything negative about anyone, even Dixie Carter, which they said was a really touchy situation, was when he said, I don't care what CM Punk says about me because I have no respect for him. That's the only time I've ever heard AJ Styles say anything of that nature. And that's why I say on a regular basis, you can't keep not blaming CM Punk. Bryan Danielson votes to fire him. Bryan Danielson is renowned as someone who is even-tempered, contemplative, understands the business, realizes what's best for it, all that kind of stuff, votes to fire him. AJ Styles, who never says anything bad about anybody, says, I have no respect for him. What's he doing then? So he's just this innocent guy that's walking around doing nothing, and guys who never hate anybody, who never say anything bad, have nothing but bad things to say. That doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense at all. Now, we do have a couple of people returning to the WWE, and one of them happens to be AJ Styles. I heard he's not going to be there tonight. They had originally thought that they were going to bring him in tonight, but I heard he's not going to be there tonight. They're waiting a little longer. I don't know exactly what the storyline is going to be, but I'm going to guess it's going to be against the Bloodline, or at least against Solo or Jimmy. He'll probably take on Jimmy first and then maybe Solo. And second one is Braun Strowman. Now, Braun Strowman's still a little ways off, and he said he's at the mercy of his doctors because, of course, this was neck fusion surgery. This is, you know, not a sprained ankle that he had. Neck fusion surgery is serious, and in many cases, it's career-ending. But he says he was given the go-ahead to lift weights again. And he's a little ways off because he said he's down 35 pounds. Now, if you remember, Braun Strowman was trimmed down to begin with. He was very muscular, but he was trimmed down. So now take that trimmed down Braun Strowman and take 35 pounds off that. And he's probably not ring ready yet. He's probably not wanting to come back looking like he looked. So give him a little while, possibly the Rumble, but I would say certainly before WrestleMania. And one of the things he said, I want to come back, obviously, for myself and the fans, but I very much want to come back for Bray Wyatt. Now, we had speculated that they were going to put Bray Wyatt in the Hall of Fame, and we told you guys you should write in and demand they will. Apparently, they are. From what I hear, Bray Wyatt is going into the Hall of Fame this year. That's a very good move. It's a very smart move. You know, you could love what he did or you could hate what he did, but you can't deny the impact that he had on this company. And I know there are people who say, but his gimmick was so hard to work. Because he couldn't really lose, and if he lost, it killed his gimmick, and if you had to play along with the nonsense, play along like you were scared of it, or you had to play along that all these weird things were happening, it lessened your character. Really? Well, I don't know. Did it lessen The Undertaker's character? Did it lessen Kane's character? People did it all the time. People did that all the time. How many people had to literally run away from The Undertaker or pretend they were scared to get thrown in a casket? How many people had to run away from Kane? Or any time that fire hit and you heard Kane's music, oh, they had to bug their eyes out of their head and run. That doesn't hurt. It wasn't that hard to work with. The reason Bray Wyatt's character was hard to work with is because the WWE never truly understood what he was trying to do, and they wouldn't let him do exactly what he wanted to do. They would always cut it off at the heels and say, well, let's go this direction or that direction. One of my lasting regrets in wrestling will always be, Bray Wyatt said, eventually, you guys are all going to know what I had in mind for, in my return. With the Uncle Howdy thing, with the whole Wyatt 6 or whatever it was going to be, the whole backstory, it's all going to make sense. It's all going to get tied together, and you'll realize why it took so long. And we're never going to see that now. We're never going to get the completion of that. We're never going to know what Bray Wyatt actually had in mind. And I would assume it was probably pretty damn good. So I'm sorry for that. I'm happy that Braun Strowman's coming back, though, Mike. Maybe they'll use him in a different capacity than they were when he had to go out for the neck fusion surgery, because being a tag team with Ricochet wasn't really doing them any good.
No, and hopefully he decides to go from, I guess it was 340 or whatever it was, back up to about 400 pounds to where he can, I assume they still have Eric Redbeard on, they're still paying him, on contract. He's waiting to come in, I'm assuming Bo Dallas is still trying to figure out what they're going to do with Bo Dallas. Now, as far as Bray going into the Hall of Fame, I don't know who they're going to choose to induct him. Will it be Bray? Will it be Eric Redbeard? Will it be the dad? Will it be IRS? Will it be, whomever? And I would assume also that probably if they can swing it, that probably Barry Windham's going to be there as well. That would be a nice send-off of Bray Wyatt if he had most of his family there, including his dad, to watch him posthumously go into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it might even be who is going to be his future wife. She posted a couple of days ago that was to be their wedding day. That's got to be one of the hardest things you could possibly imagine. Can you imagine having your wedding planned and having the person that you're getting married to pass away, and then that wedding day comes? That's got to be incredibly difficult. Incredibly difficult. So hopefully she'll be there too. It's going to be a bittersweet thing. Selfishly, as fans, we're going to miss that creativity, and we're going to say we're never going to know what the payoff was, and that's all the selfish part of it. That's all from our perspective. But can you imagine the personal perspective of someone who is about to embark on the happiest day of their life, and then that day comes on the calendar, and all it is a reminder that that person's no longer with you? Very difficult. Wouldn't wish that on anybody. So, yeah, that's not good. I am happy he's going into the Hall of Fame. He does deserve it. You're always going to get those people who say, he wasn't very good in the ring. Was Andre? Was Hogan? I know, Hogan in Japan. That's all I ever hear. Hogan in Japan can wrestle. Well, Hogan in the WWE did a leg drop and a few punches to the head and waved his finger at you, and that was about it. Did he put on 5-star matches? He did not. Did Andre put on 5-star matches? He did not. You want me to keep going down the list of legends? Did the Ultimate Warrior put on 5-star matches? He did not. So I don't want to hear that. What Bray Wyatt contributed was far more important than a 5-star match. It was the return of actual creativity. To not cookie cutter, let me do a super kick and a 360 splash, and let me do something I saw somebody else do in Japan. He didn't do that. He created a persona. He created a universe. He created something very unique. And yes, he borrowed from several different people, but he made it his own. Everyone borrows from everybody. There's no Hulk Hogan without superstar Billy Graham. Probably no Jesse Ventura without superstar Billy Graham. There's no Ric Flair without Buddy Rogers. Everybody borrows a little. But what he brought to the table was such creativity. And the reason I think that some of the workers were either jealous of him or didn't really get it or pretended they didn't like it, it's because they were jealous, because they don't have that creativity. They just go to the writer and say, what am I doing today? What good stuff you got for me? Bray Wyatt wasn't that guy, the guy who said, look what I came up with. Can we do this? That's missing. There are wrestlers who do it still, but not enough of them. So I'm very happy to see he's going to the Hall of Fame, Todd, but it's going to be kind of bittersweet.
Oh, you're absolutely right there about that, the WWE Hall of Fame. I've been saying the same thing as well. Put Bray Wyatt in. They need to put him in. And it looks like they're going to do it in 2024.
I certainly hope. Well, that's what they said, yeah. Now, again, people who deserve to be in this Hall of Fame who aren't. And I know Chris Jericho recently made comments that the Hall of Fame doesn't mean anything anymore because too many people got in. Well, you know, you could say the same thing about almost any of the Hall of Fames. Go up to Cooperstown to the Baseball Hall of Fame. There are going to be people in there that you're like, that's very marginal. And yet Pete Rose isn't in. Keith Hernandez isn't in. I can name you a bunch of ball players who deserve to be in a lot more than a few of the people that are in. It's always that way. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? How many years did it take for Alice Cooper to be inducted when he basically created a whole genre of music? Without Alice Cooper, there's no Kiss. There's no Ozzy Osbourne, probably. There might have been Black Sabbath, but there's not going to be Ozzy Osbourne. There's no Rob Zombie. There's no Marilyn Manson. There's no none of that. Alice Cooper basically single-handedly created that, and, you know, ABBA got in before him. So you can't go by that. Yeah, there are probably people in there who are marginal. It's still an honor. Because there are people outside of it that haven't been inducted, like Demolition. I don't know what you're waiting for with Demolition. I can tell you that growing up, Demolition was one of my favorite teams. And I know people say, oh, they're Road Warrior ripoffs. I liked them a lot better than the Road Warriors. I just thought they were much more interesting characters. So, you know, it works both ways. There are people in there that maybe are marginal, and there are people who are not in there who certainly deserve it. But I still think it's worth going in. Anyway, what are we going to see tonight on SmackDown? Well, is it tribute to the troops? Yeah, it is, right? Is that tonight, Todd, the tribute to the troops? I think it is.
I think it is, and, you know, like you said, I think they're like sort of like put the tribute to the troops merged with SmackDown tonight, a little bit of both.
What I don't like about tribute to the troops lately is they don't go anywhere. They're just like, yeah, here we are in Albany, but it's still tribute to the troops. Okay. Well, I liked it a whole lot better when you went to where the troops were. If you can get your ass to Saudi Arabia, you can get your ass to an army base somewhere, right? Air Force base, something, right? So they used to. It was a lot of fun when they did that. A lot of fun. And it was very well appreciated. And it was one of those things, by the way, that really put a lot of good publicity for the WWE. I remember watching some of the wrestlers down there, and they were in an area where it wasn't 100% safe. I remember very clearly that one year they were saying it's not far from where there's action. And that meant a lot. Really did. Now you just set up in whatever arena and call it Tribute for the Troops. Okay, it's still nice, but it's not quite the same thing. So we'll see what happens tonight on SmackDown. I'm very interested in seeing if they do pull Styles' return. It's very possible that they've just been saying, no, he's not going to be there tonight, just so that there's a surprise. But from what I'm hearing, they're waiting for some creative thing. Now, maybe it's to get the feud done with the Bloodline and everybody else first, because they don't want it to cross feud. So maybe that's part of the reason. All I do know is this. Anderson and Gallows have been missing in action. Mia Yim been missing in action every time AJ Styles goes out, they don't use them at all for anything ever. And it's kind of sad, because they shouldn't be relying on AJ Styles for their career. Anderson and Gallows, quality tag team. And if the WWE can't find a place for them, considering that their tag team division's looking really sharp now, if you added Anderson and Gallows to this mix and made them something, I'm looking at this tag team division and I'm saying, let's pretend we never saw any of these guys get jobbed out as bum. Can you imagine a federation that has Anderson and Gallows, Creed Brothers, New Day, Street Profits, if the Viking Raiders were healthy, the Viking Raiders, team after team after team of really good teams. You got a really good tag team division. They're starting to use them better, so I'll give them a little credit, but Anderson and Gallows, they really need to start doing something with them.
We're right, and I heard at one point that they were going to do a feud with AJ and Anderson. All right. Carl Anderson. Yeah. But that would be sort of interesting, but yeah. And throwing Alpha Academy to that mix as well with the tag teams. That's just another good tag team. And that's the thing. We're going to have to, when everybody gets healthy and gets right, we're going to have to rank this tag team division from top to bottom. Because as you said, they're getting this stuff lined up. It took Tony Khan to kick them in the ass, to give them a boot up the ass to get stuff lined up correctly, the WWE. They're starting to get it lined up, and if they can get Anderson and Gallows fixed to where they're contenders and they're good contenders, I mean, they're going to be there a while. I mean, they're under contract for a while now. So if they can get them up to being good contenders, you're going to have 4, 5, 6, 7 teams that can be contenders, you know? And that includes...
Well, absolutely.
Like,
I mean, I would argue that maybe they were a little more colorful tag teams in the WWE in their peak, but I don't know if this could be the best in-ring quality tag teams we've ever had in WWE. New Day has always been fantastic. And by the way, you've taken it away from the Usos, and Lord knows you could at any time put them back together. But anyway, you lost one of your best tag teams when you split them up. But who do you have now? Well, you have Damian Priest and Finn Balor as the tag team champions. Pretty solid tag team. Street Profits, excellent tag team. You have Alpha Academy in whatever form they're going to be. If it's Otis and Chad Gable, I would suggest that's the best team. You have Imperium. You have DIY. You could potentially have the Viking Raiders when Eric gets healthy again. Uh, I mean, there's just team after team after team that's really good, quality teams. Creed Brothers now are in. Anderson and Gallows, my God. Just named like eight teams. And they're all good teams. So, yeah, you got a really good tag division going on, Todd, if they utilize it correctly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like you said, if they use the tag team division the right way, you will have a great lot of great top tag teams in the WWE. And like you said, you could make them look good.
Yeah, if you're going to do something with Anderson and Gallows, I would turn them. I would turn them on AJ. I would, you know, maybe you're going to do something with splitting up of the Judgment Day. Maybe Finn goes over there. I don't know. Finn was part of them before, right? Maybe Finn leads that. I guess he'd have to take JD McDonagh with him. But that's okay. And that's another thing. You may end up getting Finn and JD McDonagh out of this, which I could argue could be a better tag team than Finn and Damian Priest. So there's a lot of good tag teams. WWE's done a good job with this. They haven't done a great job with showing how great of a tag team roster they have. Hopefully they'll start. And they've got to really do something about the women's tag team division because that is non-existent. We kept seeing Alba Fire and her partner there in vignettes. I haven't seen them yet. And you've stopped showing the vignettes? Well, they were already here. Oh, yeah, that's right. You already brought them up, and they already got jobbed out. Now you're going to start vignettes of how indestructible they are. We've already seen them beaten. That's dumb. That's just plain dumb. Kind of ruined them. You had a couple of NXT Women's Tag Team Champions. You've sort of ruined all them. That's dumb. It's almost like they're sabotaging the Women's Tag Team Division. Now, the Women's Solo Division's fantastic. This is a very good roster. We're going to find this out when we start doing the ratings on New Year's Eve Day here. This is a fantastic roster. Both male and female, you have a fantastic roster of talent. I don't know if you got a fantastic roster of personalities or characters, but you got a fantastic roster of talent. My hope is they'll utilize it the right way. Because you got to remember, there's several people out. If we do get Braun Strowman back and Ricochet and him form a tag team again, there's another one. That's a pretty formidable tag team. So, and right now you got Sami Zayn on the shelf, AJ Styles ready to come back, but he's technically on the shelf, Braun Strowman on the shelf. You just lost Matt Riddle, who was a big, let's face it, he was a big part of the WWE. You lost him. So they've lost talent and still maintained a fantastic roster. Absolutely fantastic. So the problem here, if there is a problem, Mike, certainly I don't think is the roster. It's utilization of that roster.
Yes, the utilization of that roster. And here's another thing to think about with the tag team division. If they can get the other two guys from Legado del Fantasma going again, that's another tag team. And frankly, if they bring up Carrillo and Angel Garza, that's another tag team.
That's true. I forgot about the guys that were with the LWO. Yep, that's another good tag team. Absolutely. Their tag team division is as strong as I've seen it. It really is. Because even their bottom-level guys, even the guys that they say, they don't win that much. Anderson and Gallows is one of your bottom-level tag teams? That's a world-renowned tag team. That's a huge tag team. And they're at the bottom of the echelon? Wow. Wow. The guys from Legado del Fantasma, they're at the bottom of your tag team division? They're a damn good tag team. Wow. So, yeah, you've got it really going on here. And then you got to understand that I keep hearing rumblings that Big E is coming back soon. Now, you just broke up the Brawling Brutes, but there is a possibility that Sheamus is coming back, and he would be suited for a tag team. So you could potentially have either Sheamus and Ridge Holland or Sheamus and Butch. Mike, there's another quality tag team for sure.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't when Butch was down in NXT, wasn't he a tag team with somebody else from maybe Britain or something at the time? And plus, here's another thing. You still have Gallus down there in NXT.
Yep.
That's another tag team, you know. So they're stocked up to the hilt with tag teams.
Oh, we forgot about the. How did we possibly forget about the oh my God, I blanked on them. The guys who wear the half shirts, pretty deadly.
Oh. Yeah, pretty deadly. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean that.
Yeah.
I mean.
That's a hell of a tag team division, Mike. That's got to be the best tag team division they've ever had, I think.
Oh, man. I mean, I can't remember the depth. I mean, the depth. This is prize-winning depth they have in the tag team division. I mean, at one point, yeah, you might have had, you know, Demolition and Heart Foundation and a few others, maybe one or two others. But to have at least six possibles, if not more, in this division that are, and you know they're pushing pretty deadly. They're pushing them to the hill. So you know, at some point, they're going to hold those tag team titles. So they're coming. And we just mentioned, what, about 7 to 10 tag teams?
Yeah.
If
at
not
least
more.
Eight, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, think about it. And like I said, they still have Carrillo and Garza there as well.
Yeah, they're very strong in the tag team division. Very, very strong. And none of these teams are like thrown together jabron crapola teams. That's the thing. None of them are Natty and Tegan Knox. We just have to throw them together. No. These are all quality tag teams. Pretty Deadly is a quality tag team. The guys from the LWO, that's a quality tag team. Anderson and Gallows, are you kidding me? It's a legendary tag team. Street Profits, quality tag team. Over and over and over again, everybody we mentioned, New Day, what can you say? How many times have they been tag team champions? Holy mackerel. Imperium, that's a quality tag team. I know they're teasing breaking them up, and it looks like it's coming. But for now, at least, quality tag team. DIY, fantastic tag team. It just keeps going and going and going. The depth of this tag team division is fantastic. They've not really utilized it as well as they should. But I can understand. I mean, if you're the WWE, how many tag team matches you're putting on a show, but you got to try to circulate them a little bit. I haven't seen Anderson and Gallows. I've been looking for their faces on a milk carton. Where the hell are they? Even if you did want to say, well, we're just basically using them to build up other tag teams, okay, let's see them. Let's at least see them. Great division. Todd, I don't think I've seen it this deep, maybe ever.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about Anderson and Gallus. I think one of them out of the two, I think it's Luke Gallows, or I think Carl Anderson, I think he's injured for some reason. That's why you probably haven't seen those two, that tag team lately on TV.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about the injury, but God, you can't show up at least and do a skit or do something. Wow. Anyway, what will we see tonight? Well, you know, listen, everything's going to be the big buildup now for a while, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. Should be a lot of fun, though. My prediction is that until probably the Royal Rumble, we're not going to see anything super, what's the right word for it? Dramatic happen. You're not going to see a cash-in from Damian Priest. You're not going to see another heel turn or a face turn or anything. You're just going to – I think they're going to ride this out. But what I'm seeing is the table being set in the late stages of 2023 for what could be one of the best years for WWE in their history. And I mean that sincerely, and I'm usually very critical of the WWE, but I'm watching them set the table week by week, building up certain things, fooling us and leading us down blind alleys with other things, putting so many branches on trees in their storyline that you can barely see the tree anymore. And all of this, I think, Mike, is leading to them being able to have a really blowout 2024 where you're going to keep the fans guessing, you're going to keep the fans entertained, and more importantly, you're going to show the quality of your roster.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I mean, we know the tag team roster has quality, and hell, I mean, if you put any two of Asuka and them together, they could be a great tag team. I know they want Asuka, they want probably all three of them to be in the singles title, but if you put any two of them together, that's a great tag team.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Well, we're going to find out, like I said, when we do our roster rating. That's a hell of a roster. I mean, I've been going down this roster and saying to myself, wow. You know, just because they're not using someone in a major fashion doesn't mean they're not good. And there's a lot of people on this roster. This could be one of the strongest rosters. I think I agree with Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff had said recently, you may not notice it because the personalities aren't so large, like with The Undertaker and Steve Austin and Triple H and Shawn Michaels and Batista and all in The Rock and Mick Foley and all those people. They had such a large personality. But he said, if you take that away, this roster might be the best the WWE's ever had, and that could be true, Mike.
That could be true, you know. And that's the thing. I just don't – I mean, this is – I mean, we've talked several times over the last, say, 5 or 6 years, we've said it doesn't matter who you are. The roster in the WWE, both sides, men's and women's, is the best roster in the world. And it doesn't matter if you're in Japan or America, you know, or England or wherever. It doesn't matter, right? So
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, that's the thing. You look at this roster, and you can't argue with it. I mean, you look at the female roster with Asuka and her people and Charlotte when she's there and Bianca and Bailey whenever they do decide to turn her face, whatever. That's a roster that, now granted, you're right about the women's tag team. They probably need to hire some more people or whatever, but that we can put that aside for now because they're probably not going to do that. Oh, and by the way, it's I believe it is Anderson that's hurt right now.
Oh, Anderson, okay.
Yeah, that's hurt. So, and that's why they're talking about a singles feud not Anderson. Gallows hurt.
Well, it's Gallows, okay.
Yeah. That's why they're talking about a singles feud between AJ and Anderson.
Well, you know, that's all well and good, and I understand you don't want to be on TV and do it, but once in a while, man, at least show somebody if you're injured, you know. There are people who come out and do at least an interview or a backstage segment or something because you don't want people to forget about you either. That's important. I think we'll be back here on Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.